Shamrock is forbid by law to grow on Irish ground. St. Patrick's Day no more will keep his colour can't be seen, for there's a cruel law against the wearing.
St. Patrick's Day nowadays is not just celebrated in Ireland and America, but in many other places around the world by Irish and non-Irish alike. As you heard earlier, many people in the church are wondering whether these largely secular St. Patrick's Day celebrations are losing sight of the original religious significance of this feast day. That's a fear expressed by Father Matthew Gamba, an American Jesuit of Irish descent who grew up in the U.S. city of Chicago, where a big parade is held every year on St. Patrick's Day and where the river is dyed green on this date. He begins by paying tribute to St. Patrick's dedication and skill in carrying out his dangerous mission to Christianize the Irish during the 5th century.
I think he really built on, you know, the desire for the divine among the people, that they did have a sense of ritual and some practice and a sense of searching and longing. But he really felt he had the good news of Jesus Christ in the Gospels and put that out there and met with great success. And I think he also worked with the leadership and thought if he can bring the leaders of the clans and the society to Christ, everyone else will also take note and come with. So there's a lot of, I think, courage with him and a lot of humility.
But there are some somewhat hoary old legends about him. I mean, the one that he stood on a hilltop in Ireland and banished all the snakes. That's not true, is it?
No. So many of these things are more legendary, or they come up in later writings about him. You know, he is a man of the 5th century, and so there's been lots and lots of centuries to write about him and all kinds of legends that are created about him. But from him, we have really two distinct letters that as the basis that history works with in writing the life of Patrick.
Okay, tell us a little bit more about the connection between St. Patrick and the shamrock, which of course is now, you know, synonymous with St. Patrick's Day.
Right. In explaining the Trinity, how are there three persons and one God? He sees the shamrock as a perfect example of the three-leaf clover. These three are all part of one piece of vegetation, I guess, or one plant, and yet they're united. So that distinction and unity in the shamrock, and it's held up by him as a teaching tool among the people there. And that continues, and the shamrock is the great symbol of Patrick and Irish faith in many ways.
Okay, now, why has the celebration of St. Patrick's Day become such a global phenomenon? I mean, no other saint that I can think of, there's such a razzmatazz on his feast day.
Yes, well, I'm from Chicago, and it's legendary there. They dye the river green, but it also is a religious holiday. We do start the day. We have a beautiful church right in downtown Chicago, Old St. Patrick's. The cardinal says the mass, and then that leads into a big breakfast, and then there's a big parade through the city. We also have a South Side parade, which where many of the Irish live. But Chicago would be an example, I think, of the Irish diaspora, where the Irish are really all over the world, and wherever they've gone, they've also taken their faith and their culture with them. Patrick is the day and the man that is celebrated. So I think the spread of the Irish brings the spread of St. Patrick, and there's a sense of gregariousness or fun or enjoyment among the Irish people. At the same time, it has, you know, very profound religious foundations. Holy Day of Obligation for many years, and it was a national holiday so that people could kind of spend the day in prayer. Now it's changed, and it's become more of a celebration of Irish festival and culture. But I think you're seeing a pushback on that. I came across a priest last year who just said the church has to take back St. Patrick's Day.
It's become too secular. It's become too much of an opportunity to booze, and there's not enough piety.
Yeah, it's become kind of like a green New Year's Eve in many places. And that's just not really, it's not St. Patrick at all. The more you study St. Patrick, the more you're probably inclined to spend the day in prayer and fasting and penance, and he's really a great saint for Lent, and yet in the middle of Lent, it's sort of the day off for St. Patrick. So there's a lot of different conflicting levels. Great to celebrate a saint, great to celebrate our culture, but I think we have to do it appropriately.
You talked earlier there about how Chicago dyes the river green on St. Patrick's Day.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about how that tradition came about and how do they actually turn the river green and how long-lasting is it?
It lasts for a good chunk of just the day. Chicago has this funny river flowing right through the downtown, kind of with the skyscrapers lining it, and they dump 40 pounds of green vegetable dye, so it's environmentally friendly, and it turns it into a very pleasant green. It doesn't sound like that lovely, but it actually is kind of shimmering and very pretty for the day. It started with, I think, sort of testing on sewage water, you know, 50, 60 years ago.
And so they, almost by accident.
Yeah, by accident, and then it became, hey, well, this could be... Well, so Chicago is always up for a party, and they were always looking for ways to kind of celebrate and do things. But what happens now, though, a lot of the skyscrapers turn their lights green. You'll see, like, throughout the whole downtown, what would be normally white light becomes green light on a St. Patrick's night.
Oh, the wearing of the green, the wearing of the green, the wearing.
As we were saying, St. Patrick's Day celebrations have spread where the diaspora is. Going back in history, I mean, the first St. Patrick's Day parades took place, I gather, in the 18th century. Tell us something about that and how they sort of got about and spread.
Not in Ireland, but in the United States, with the Irish, who were as part of the original colonies and then part of the colonial military. But there was also a sense of a secondary status among the Irish for many reasons in the United States. And so it was a way of just gathering and joining together, remembering their feast day, St. Patrick, and then they marched through some of the East Coast cities.
But they were also, in fact, demonstrating, weren't they, against the discrimination and their treatment.
Yes, exactly. It was a way of standing up and claiming their ground and their human rights and their human dignity. And then out of this grew kind of fellowship societies, the Hibernian Society, the Friendly Friends of St. Patrick. And these groups then coalesce and start parades in all the major U.S. cities, New York, Boston, Chicago. Savannah, Georgia is also known for its famous St. Patrick's Day Parade. And that's in the Deep South, an area not known for its Catholicism, but this little pocket of Irish Catholicism is found down there.
Yeah, in fact, I read that now it's about more than 100 U.S. cities where these parades take place. So it really is
it's
nationwide.
Kind of taken off in a way that we kind of unexpected.
And I also gather that it's become much bigger in Ireland itself. I mean, maybe they've sort of seen, you know, what they do in the U.S. and see that as a chance to perhaps make more fuss.
I think, a lot of back and forth with Irish people from the United States to Ireland. There's a kind of flow of immigration and emigration back and forth. But at the same time, I think they also have turned it into almost like a week-long festival faith and culture. But I think that's where the issue is. Is it really just becoming kind of a cultural, secular festival, or is the church taking the lead here? And that's the question, I think. It's not just meant to be a drinking holiday or even just a secular holiday, but a religious holiday, a saint's feast day.
And when you were growing up in Chicago, you know, of Irish descent, how important was the figure of St. Patrick to you? And did you actually take part in any of these St. Pat's parades yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we still had to go to school, but it was a Catholic school, and so it was celebrated throughout the day. And then as you got older, it was kind of a cool thing to maybe ditch school for the day and take the train downtown and go to the parade. But we had always kind of celebration. Irish step dancing is very popular in Chicago. And this is this whole week, all the Irish step dancing schools really portray themselves and are out there. And so we'd always have demonstrations of that at school. Our next door neighbor ran her own Irish dancing school. So we were always part of her world and her celebrations and parties. And then all the great restaurants and pubs are open, and families gather and have a great time. So that's really important. We even have a Miss St. Patrick's Day crowned for the day in Chicago, a young woman of Irish descent. And so kind of all the secular things, but also spiritual things. And then attending Mass and studying the saint is always part of our childhood as well. But it was always a fun day, but my parents always try to mix fun and faith.
I was speaking there to Father Matthew Gamba, a Jesuit priest of Irish descent who comes from the city of Chicago.